This is Spotlight on Lead Poisoning, brought to you by Southern United Neighborhoods, a nonprofit that works on environmental issues and helps people buy their own homes and fix their credit. Call them at 1-800-239-7379 or go on the web at southernunitedneighborhoods.org for more information. My name is Marie.
Why don't you start off by introducing yourself?
Hi, my name is Deborah Campbell. I'm with A Community Voice.
And how long have you been with A Community Voice?
Since about 2005. I started out with a chapter in Houston, Texas. And then returning home in 2007, I joined the one in New Orleans.
And you've been living in New Orleans all your life?
Yes.
And so how did you get first started in the lead poisoning fight?
It was brought to our attention at a meeting. And that made us think about the damage that the lead poisoning can do. I'm the mother of an autistic son. And it could possibly be part of his problem and the reason why he's autistic. So it kind of hit home and made me more and more interested in how it affects the people, children and adults, really.
Yeah, because you don't often hear about people talk about autism and lead poisoning, but you feel like there could be links because of the brain damage that lead poisoning does.
Right, you know, we're looking for any connection to this autism problem, and that could very well be one of them, that the metals in our body is causing these types of situations. Mother may be a carrier, and maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's interesting, because if you think about all the years that you might have been exposed to lead,
that's correct. That's
passing
correct.
It on to your children.
That's correct.
So you did some campaigns around getting the school board to put water filters in the school.
Yeah, that was very successful in our area. We did get them to put some filters in the schools, and that was a big win for our organization.
When you first started talking to the school board, did you feel like they knew anything about lead?
I felt like they knew, but they weren't that concerned because nobody's ever put it on the forefront. You know, our doctors, the pediatricians, they don't test our children for lead unless there's a problem, and we insist that they test them. It could be pain killing in our home. If we're aware of the danger, that's the problem, to make the public aware. You know, if we're not aware of the danger, then we feel there's no danger.
Yeah. Were you surprised that there was lead in our water?
Why, certainly. We thought this water was as safe as it could be. We knew that it had a few bugs in it, but not anything serious. But lead in the water is a serious matter.
And so recently, you guys did a public records request for asking the Sewage and Water Board for where all the lead service lines. And what we got back was a partial list of where they found lead just doing repairs, but they said they couldn't tell us where all the lead was. Do you think that's true?
No, that's not true. They know what to do to research and find out where these lead lines are. It's in their record. But nobody's concerned about it because nobody's suing. You know, it's not until you do something drastic that everybody starts to pull out their books and inspect their pages and see what diagrams they can come up with and what areas has what and when it was put down. And, you know, it's not until then that something is done, and it's really sad.
So What do you think should be done about the lead in the water?
Well, right now we need to get directly to the source, and the source is Sergio Mordovoy. That's where we need to start. Other than that, we can educate our community and get them to purchase filters, which is a hardship for some people. They don't have money to purchase cereal for their kids to eat. So now you're telling them to get a filter for their faucet, and that, oh, yeah, it's going to need refills every now and then, you know?
Yeah, you have to change the filter all the time, right?
Right.
So it puts the burden on already busy, cash-strapped people.
That's right. It's going to affect the poor like it always does.
So it's,
and the elderly. Let's not forget about the elderly that says, well, I've been drinking this water all my life. I don't need any filters. Nothing's wrong with me. Well, yeah, you have quite a few health problems that could be because of the lead in the water, but no one's saying anything, so you think everything's okay.
Yeah, are you concerned about long-term exposure with the elderly in terms of, like, why they may get dementia or have osteoporosis and stuff like that?
Right. It could be the number of reasons for the number of illnesses that people have. If no research is done, then we have no proof. But it could very well be.
And so you think Susan Waterbird should change out all the lead service lines, right?
Yes, I do. I really do think that this is their obligation to our community. You know, we're paying them. And, of course, I don't want to pay to have lead in my water.
And then people are getting some really high bills right now.
Oh, let's not even talk about the cost of water.
And so
these bills are exorbitant. People cannot believe the bills they're receiving. And what got me is that most of the people, they're just paying it. If they have it, they pay it. We have a few that's disputing it. We disputed in January. It's taken off of our bill maybe a $200 credit in February, and we see a $200 increase in March. So they're playing games with us and these bills. And what I want to know is, when is it going to stop? What is it going to take?
Because why do you think that people are getting really high bills right now?
Theft. Georgia Water Board is stealing our money. It's just no other word for it. It's theft.
So you don't think it's just incompetence. You think there's something sinister going on with the way Georgia Water Board is being managed?
Yes, I do. I think the rate is being trumped up. I think they're charging what they want to charge. I think they're trying to pay some bills that they owe, but they're trying to pay it out of our pocket.
Because they got billions of dollars after Katrina to fix the whole system. Do you feel like they fixed it?
No, indeed, girl. They got this money wind up in these executives' pockets. You know, people are still trying to jump on the Georgia Water Board from City Hall and here and there because they know they can have access to funds and they can give contracts to friends and they can do what they've been doing. Friends who don't know how to do the job but know how to give them a kickback and the paperwork they need to put in. That's what it's all about.
And so you guys are also working on the Blight to Biofuels campaign. Do you feel like that's related to some of the toxins in our water because we have so much blight and chemicals and garbage going through our drainage system?
Well, of course. If you've got dead rodents that no one picks up. All of this contaminates the waters. They're talking about these metal objects and things they found in the canal. Well, who's been washing the canals? Where are the checkers? You know, the citizens aren't checkers. We know stuff is going to wind up in their trash over the years, and so do you. So that's one of the problems. Nobody's monitoring anything. Yes, they're killing us softly. We know that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit more about the blight to biosolids, what you guys are trying to do?
What we're trying to do is to get City Hall to agree to take these wooded, torn down house areas and give us the right to go in and put oyster shells, bad gas, or something that would absorb water. And that way we wouldn't have as much runoff as we have. And we wouldn't have the flooded streets whenever it have a downpour of rain. And really, you don't need a real downpour of rain. You just need a little steady rain over a period of time, and our streets fill up with water, and everything comes to a standstill. We also wind up with water in people's homes. After a while, the insurance companies aren't going to want to pay. They're not going to keep them on as customers because they have to pay out too many times. Your automobile, you need your automobile to get to work and make money, and they're flooding out our automobiles. You know, and it's like, oh, that's okay. This is the norm. Well, yes, it is becoming the norm, but it's not right.
And you're worried people's insurance is going to get dropped, right?
Of course, of course. Who's going to want to keep paying the same claim over and over just because a person lives in New Orleans? They're going to drop you.
And so you have a serious problem with a lot of blighted lots in the Upper Nine, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. We have a number of people that didn't come back to their homes. And the city, they saying they can't touch the homes. Well, I don't know why. It's been long enough, and if nobody's paying the property tax, so say, and nobody's paying fees that you're attaching to it, then that should let you know that they're not coming back and that we need to do something with these properties. We're asking for them to sell the property, sell the lot. Let it be someone else's headache. Give a neighbor or somebody a chance to purchase the lot. They won't even do that.
So is it hard to find out who owns the lots and stuff?
It's hard for me, but it's not hard for them. You know, it's supposed to be public record. Well, yeah, we can go and research and try to locate the heirs and da-da-da-da-da. But City Hall can do it with no trouble, no problem.
And so a lot of these lots are just turned into garbage dumps, right?
Well, of course.
Tires and trash.
If no one's paying attention, we have junk cars. We have people burning cars on a lot. We had one incident where they put the car in an empty lot and set it on fire, and there was a body in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have sofas, mattresses. You can name it. It's on those lots. And this is right next door to a family with children. The kids can't even come out to play because of the rodents that's roaming on the lot. You know, this is not fair to our community.
And that's another hazard for them, right? Because if you're worried about your kids getting exposed to lead in the water and you get to filter, well, you can't let them play outside because there might be an abandoned house that had lead paint on it or some other toxins in the lot and lead in the dirt.
That's right, or some sick person that'll drag them into the home and have their way with them. We're unsafe with our kids inside drinking water, and they're unsafe outside trying to just have normal kids fun.
And there's not many activities at the parks that they do have, right?
Well, of course not, because we're afraid to let our kids out. You know, there's so much going on. So you're leery about your kids going to the park unsupervised. And who has the time after they've put in a hard day's work to help their kids with homework and then go to the park with them? Come on. It's just not happening. We're trying to fix dinner and get their stuff ready for the next day and get them to bed at a decent time. And it's just not going to work out that way.
Also, you're busing the kids all hours to go to school far away from where they live, right?
Well, of course, and of course they're standing by the overgrown lots waiting for the school bus at 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. It's still dark outside. And these kids are watching these possums run across the street and while they're waiting for a school bus. Is that fair? You know, it's just not fair to them. Now, another thing I want to talk about is parents. They're saying that the parents aren't interested in the schooling of the kids. That is not so. If you take my kids from the 7th ward and bus them all the way to the 9th or the 8th ward, how can I get there to monitor their education? I have other babies at home. And now I've got to go outside of my home, outside of my neighborhood to check on my child and his education. Bring the children back. Bring them back to the areas where they live. And that way the parents can monitor what's going on. We have schools that don't want the parents in the school until they tell them they can come. Long time ago, your mama walked in that school anytime, day or night, to see what was going on with the school and with you and your teachers. Let's bring that back, please.
So you feel like there's a lack of communication, or like they don't want the parents involved in these charter schools?
They don't want the community to come in unnotified because they don't want us to see what exactly is going on. So.
And they also can't handle a lot of kids with developmental problems or special education. They got rid of that in Orleans Parish.
Oh, yeah. They can handle it. They don't want to.
And so, as we know, lead causes, you know, learning disabilities and aggressive behavior. So don't you think the schools have an obligation to work out programs for these children, given the fact that everyone has lead in their water and has been exposed?
First of all, Orleans Parish School Board, when they recognize that a child is having behavioral problems, they contact the parents. And they give them the option of what to do next, where to go with it, to take their child to their doctor, discuss what's going on with them so that they can classify the child. This is no longer happening. They're handcuffing them. They're bringing them to secured areas in the school. You know, it's just not fair. We need to find out why. You know, just every day living with some kids in their homes brings on bad behavior. They're being exposed in their homes to bad behavior, so they think bad behavior is the norm. Bring these parents in and let them know what's going on and see if you all can come up with a solution. And that's all I need to say on that subject.
Because now kids are just getting kicked out of schools, and some people are having to put their schools in different kids in different parishes, right?
Right, and then they're holding that against them, saying, oh, you can't go outside of the area that we say you should be in. So now we have people that are using other people's addresses and just doing all this illegal stuff, but it's for the safety of their kids. It's for the better of their family situation. But, yeah, that's what's happening.
And so if people want to get involved in some of your campaigns having to do with the blight and the lead in the water and the schools, what do they need to do?
Please come to our meeting. It's every third Thursday of the month, every month. at New Salem Baptist Church, Alvar and Claiborne. We start at 6 o'clock. Not only do we want you to be educated on what we're looking at, but we need you to come up with some issues that you're looking at that we may not see. So we also want you to bring stuff to the table and receive this education that we have to give to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking with me today.
You have been listening to Spotlight on WAMF LP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. A recording of this broadcast and subsequent broadcasts are available at SouthernUnitedNeighborhoods.org.